BP's 80, pulse 110. Pupils are fixed and dilated.
Get an extra nap here for portable chest.
No response to pain.
We need to intubate.
Pulse ox, 92 on 10 liters.
We need 1% of lidocaine.
He's lost a lot of blood.
2 units, O-neg. I'm in, hook him up.
He's throwing PVC,
he's down. He's bleeding out.
Flat, get paddles ready.
Ready?
Charge at 300.
Needs more blood.
2 more units, O-neg.
Charge, you're ready.
Clear.
Starting compressions.
He's bagged.
He's lost too much blood.
300, let's hit him again. Clear.
Come on.
No readable pulse.
He has to call.
Time of death, 3 o'clock.
I was recently on vacation in Panama City Beach, Florida, and several of us were sitting on the beach watching my grandchildren play in the ocean. Everyone walked away to go to the pool except for me and for one other person who was wrestling with a situation in her life. She recently experienced a tragedy and was in the process of making a life-altering decision. I said, "You only get to do this once," meaning life. Count the cost. And if it's what you think you should do and what you want to do, do it. See, so many people squander away their shot at life. They look back over the wasted years and say, "If only." You know, if only I could do it over again, or if only that had not happened, or if only this would have happened, if only. And then they give the appropriate excuse. So why not get a life now? Many people postpone living. They want to live but keep putting it off. They say, someday when the kids grow up, someday when we get through this situation. They forget a huge truth. The way you are living life today is how you are living life. You can continue to defer, but every day you defer is another lost day of your getting a life. So why not get a life now? Some people hand their lives over to other people. They allow other people to decide their life for them. Parents or spouse or kids or friends or boss or even enemies. You end up living up or living down to their expectations. So why not get a life now? Some people blame others for the life they have. Parents abused them, or the job cheated them, or the spouse ruined their life. Don't you know that we all have setbacks to deal with? You have to decide if you are going to allow them to determine your life, or if you will get a life. So let's finish watching the video, and then let's talk.
Need more blood.
2 more units, O-neg.
Charged, you're ready.
Clear.
Starting compressions.
He's bagged.
He's lost too much blood.
300, let's hit him again. Clear. On.
No readable pulse.
You have to call it.
Time of death, 3 o'clock.
When you think about it, Jesus did do something pretty drastic, didn't he, to get a life, the life he really wanted? He had to die, and he had to live a resurrected life. And the point in my showing you that video and using that to start this series off is that you're probably going to need to do something pretty drastic with your life if you really want to get a life, the life that you really want to live. It's a resurrected life. It's a new life. It's what born again is really all about. See, when you're born again, your life changes. And it's supposed to get good. It's supposed to get better than ever. It's a resurrected life. I showed you several of those things that stop us from getting a life. I showed you about, people say that if only, or someday, or they hand it over, and sometimes even to enemies to run our lives, and we blame others. I want to give you three more, and then we'll start into something that I think will help us understand what I want to talk about today. How about fear? See, people fear to get a life. What I mean by that is they fear failure, or they fear taking a risk. You'll never get a life without taking risk. You'll never get a life without failure. But failure is only failure if it stops you. I'll talk about that a little more later. How about distractions? People never realize how many distractions we have in life. We come up with so many activities that it keeps us from getting our life because we're distracted by all these other things that are going on. We get full of doing stuff, but we don't get a full life. How about this one? How about giving up? Some people just give up in life. They give up. They say, well, I'm too old, or it's too hard, or it's too something. And you see, the light kind of goes out inside of them. The passion goes out inside of them. They're breathing, but they never get a life. So what I want to talk about in our series is, do any of these things affect you? Or do you relate to any of these reasons as to why you can't get a life? I really want to try to help you. You see, do you kind of say things like, where am I missing it? You know, do you ever wonder and just kind of hope that life will just happen to you? You know, maybe you'll win the lottery. Maybe that'll fix it. Do you go through life just hoping it's going to happen? Do you ever lay in bed? I remember laying in bed one night. This was years and years ago. Laying in bed in light and just asking, is this it? Is this all there is to life? I want to really help us because that's not the way it's supposed to be. If any of those things relate to you, then it's time for you to get a life. In our series, I want to invite you to do something with me. I want to invite you to take an honest look at yourself. I want to ask questions, and I want you to honestly answer those questions. I mean, listen, as long as you got to hang around on this planet for a while anyway, why not get a life? You with me? Here's the first fill-in that I want you to get if you're taking notes, and I hope you are. And I really, these notes are designed for you to take home, and I can't cover it all in this 30, 40 minutes that I have with you. But if you'll take these things home and ask yourself these questions and answer those questions, I promise you, it's going to give you some insights into your getting the life that you really want. Here's the first fill-in. The hardest thing you will ever do is really live. If it were easy, everybody would have a great life. This isn't easy. It's the hardest thing that you will ever do. John chapter 10 and verse 10 is a verse that we use around here a lot. Jesus says this. He says, the thief cometh not but to steal. What is stealing your life? What is stealing the life that you really want from you? The thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, but I am come that they might get life, might have life. Do you see that? Jesus came so that you can get a life. That you might have life and that they might have it how? More abundantly. Now, according to that verse, what is God's will for your life? That you live how? Abundantly. That you get a life. I want to read that same verse in two other translations. In the NIV, it says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might get a life, that they might have life and have it to the what? To the full. Not just activities going on, not just busy, but a full, good life. In the New Living Translation, it says this, the thief's purpose is to steal. His purpose. The thief's purpose is to, he has a purpose, is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. If your life is not abundant, if it's not full, if you're not experiencing in all of its fullness, then you're missing it. You're missing it someplace. You see, one thing I do know, I don't know a lot, but I know one thing. I know that it is God's will that I have an abundant, a full, and I live my life to its fullest potential. I know that. Listen, we have more choices. God gives us choice after choice and chance after chance and decision after decision to have a great life. Do you realize, and I want you to think about this, that we live in a time where there is more opportunity to be successful than ever before. There are more millionaires and billionaires today. Now, I'm not saying that being a millionaire or a billionaire would give you a great life. It wouldn't hurt, would it? But that might not be what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that's what you got to have a life that you want. But what I am using that as an illustration just to tell you, there are more opportunities for success today than ever before. You've got more opportunities, more chances for success than your daddy or your mother did or your grandparents did or anybody that's lived up until this time. You've got more opportunities to success. But yet it seems we go through life unprepared to really live. We're not prepared. Why is that? Why do we go through life seemingly just grasping at things and not really having a purpose? Here's why. I want you to fill this one in on your notes if you're taking them. It's because of unintentional living. People don't live life with intention. They just wake up and go to bed and wake up and go to bed and do whatever fills in the gaps in between. It's not intentional living. Look, if you just look around at people that you know, you'll see people that are desperate for life. They're discouraged. They're depressed. And if you ask them, well, how you doing? They say something like this sometimes. They'll say, well, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm just busy. And they may be busy, but they're not vibrant. You know, they may have all this stuff going on, and they may be doing the best they can, and they're filled up with doing stuff, but they're not filled up with life. They're never doing what they're really here to do because nothing ever hit the spot. They belly up to the table of life, but when they get up, they're still unsatisfied and unfilled, and nothing's really hit the spot. And so what I want to do in our series is help us hit the spot. I want to find your spot. I want you to find your spot of life. What are you here to really do and accomplish? And where is it that you'll really find the life that you're expecting to live and want to live? So that's what we're really after. To find the spot and to really live in this life, you've got to ask some questions. And these questions demand honest answers. And here are the questions that we're going to be asking in our series. Here they are. Why am I here? Do you know? You were created for a purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? We're going to attempt today to help you get closer to that understanding. What is really important to me? Do you know? You know that things are important, but what's really important to you? What is my scorecard? You know, how am I doing to get where I want to go? How am I scoring here? What am I good at? What do I need to learn? What do you need to learn to get the life that you want to experience? And so these are the topics that we're going to be talking about. And I want to tell you something special. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you this? You are God's dream. When God created this whole thing, He was dreaming and thinking about you. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, so God created people in His own image. God did what? Patterned people after Himself, male and female, He created them. Now the context of that verse, as you well know, is the context of that verse is creation. God was creating the world He wanted, but He was also getting the life He wanted. And we're created in His image and in His likeness. Verse 31 of that same chapter says this, then God looked over all He had made, and He saw that it was excellent in every way. Is your life excellent in every way? If it's not, then there's something wrong with what we're doing. See, He gave you the power, and it says, and all this happened on the sixth day. It may take a little while. It even took God a little while. But it's, the power is in you, the potential is in you, the ability is in you to get the life you want. And so what we're going to be doing is attempting to do that. You create your world. You create your life, good or bad. You create it. Stop blaming the devil. Stop blaming mama or daddy. Or stop blaming the kids or the spouse. It's your life. Get a life. Get the life that you want to live. So what do you think? What's your decision? Are you going to go on through life just hoping you win the lottery and taking it by chance and hoping life just happens for you? Are you going to try to do some intentional living and go through the series with me and see if we can really come to a place of helping you get a life? What have you got to lose? You know, maybe you just find life. So let's get started. Here's our first topic and the first question that I really want to ask you today. Why am I here? Why am I here? Why are you here? Why do you exist? You know, what is the meaning of your life? Now, let me ask that a different way. What does your life mean? Have you ever wondered why humans ponder that thought? Cats don't think about why they exist. Dogs don't wonder why they exist. They don't wonder about the meaning of their life. You know, monkeys don't even wonder about that. And apes don't wonder about that. Dolphins don't. You know, they've now determined that we really came from dolphins, not monkeys. Did you know that? We're just an upgraded dolphin. You know, and they don't wonder, though, why they exist. They don't wonder what their life means. We do. We as humans wonder that. And that in itself demands an answer. See, why ask a question if it doesn't have an answer? The answer lies then in the Creator or in the Designer. And if I really want to know why I'm here, I've got to connect with the Designer of the thing, the Creator of the thing. And when I really do find out what my purpose of life is, my meaning of life, or what my life means, I'm going to find God right smack dab in the middle of it. It's impossible to find life without God. It's impossible. Jesus come that you can find it, that you can have it, that you can live that abundant life. You're not here by an accident. You really aren't. You're designed to be here. See, accidents don't even ask why they happened. You're here because it's a designed thing to be. When I challenge people to really look at their lives and find out why they're here and give me an answer to what your life is about, what is the meaning of your life, or what does your life mean, they get nervous because they think they're supposed to give this regurgitation and articulation of what they're about. And so what they often do is invent an answer. You know, people invent answers to what their life is about, so they'll sound like they got it all together. Hear me, please. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Don't invent your answer to life. Discover it. Life isn't an invention. Life is a discovery. You are living your life's story. And as you progress through life, and if you look at life from that perspective, all of a sudden life becomes an adventure. Life becomes a mission. And every day is filled with excitement as you go about living your story. Not letting somebody else live it for you or living it the way someone else tells you to live it, but you go about life living your story the way it was meant to live. Your life means something special whether you realize it or not. God's at work in your life whether you realize it or not right now. God's working. And though it might be a mystery to you, it's not a mystery to Him. And though it might be a mystery now, it doesn't have to stay a mystery. You see, life goes through these dots. And let me explain this to you. Discovering what the meaning of your life or why you're here is sort of like connecting the dots, you know. We went down to Atlanta this past week. It was Grandparents' Day. And so we went down to be with two of my grandsons. And we went out to eat. And I was sitting between them. And one of them, well, they handed us the children's menus. And on the back of the children's menus, it had these little games you played. And one of the games was connect the dots. And you know, so we were going to connect the dots. So I looked at this thing, and when I first looked at it, it was just a conglomeration of numbers and dots, you know. And it's kind of like our lives. Our lives, are when we look at our lives, sometimes it's just all jumbled, and, you know, what's the meaning here? What is this about? But as I began to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and started connecting all those dots, all of a sudden an image began to appear. And what it was a buffalo with wings. And you know what I had to eat? Buffalo wings. And that's kind of how life is. As you begin to connect the dots of your life, all of a sudden your life begins to appear. And you can see more and more and more about what you're about what your life really means. Another way to look at it is like a crossword puzzle. You fill out a crossword puzzle, and initially, you know, it's just these lines and squares and all this stuff. And so you begin to answer the things that you can answer now, the things you know, the things that are simple. And most of them, you'll start off with some simple things and then get very difficult, more difficult. And so what you do in determining how your life is working, you start filling in the answers that you know now. And then that gives you clues to what your next answer will be. And that's kind of what this is going to be today. What I want to give you are some clues as to the meaning of your life. How do you find out your life? Well, there are clues that we are given. And so here's what I want to show you is how to get some clues about your life. Here's the first one. Here's a big one. The first one is passion. Passion. This is a big, huge clue. Something excites you. Something gives you energy. Something, when you begin to discuss it and talk about it, it causes your voice to animate. It causes your eyes to sparkle. And no matter how much you're exposed to it, no matter how much you're around it, you never get enough of it. And you just love it. And that's passion. That's passion. And that's what makes you tick. That's your passion of life. We all have something. We're created that way. I've had a passion for something for 30 years that I know of. I never get enough of it. I never get tired of it. And it's the Word of God. It's the study of the Word of God and the teaching and the sharing of the Word of God. I remember years and years ago, this is 20, 25 years ago, I was getting my degree. And I was in the bedroom and I was studying and I was writing and I was really neglecting my family. And Judy comes into the bedroom and she says, "You need to get out here with us. You need to come out here and watch and spend some time with your children." She says, "And Bob, don't you ever get tired of this?" And I thought, and I shook my head. I said, "No." Now, it wasn't that she didn't want me to study the Word of God, but what she was letting me know is I was neglecting something else that was important. You see, that's what your passion will do, though. Your passion will cause you to neglect other things that may be important, but that's what you really love doing. I'm passionate about the Word of God. I have been. I never get enough of it. So at the end of every session, I'm going to give you some questions that you ask. You see, what your passion will do for you is distinguish you from the pack. What you're a passion, to some person it may be a job, but to someone else it's a passion. And when you're passionately working on something, it sets you apart from everybody else, everything else. I'm passionate about the Word of God. That's why you come here, because there's a passion that you see coming from me, and I never get tired of it. I never get tired of talking about it. My eyes light up when I stand here. I can come up here sometime, and I'll be tired. Maybe I didn't sleep well, and a lot of times I don't sleep well on Saturday night. I'm excited or something. I don't know why it is, but I'll come up here one day a couple of weeks ago. I came up here. I don't know why. I didn't sleep that night, and I was just wore out, but I stood here, and all of a sudden an energy level hit me, and I was able to do what I'm supposed to do. So at the end of everything, I give you some questions, and these are what I really want you to take home and really sit down and go through them one by one by one and answer them. What gets you excited? Your thing that excites you probably might not excite me, but what gets you excited? This is your dot. This is your crossword puzzle. This is your passion. What brings you energy? What always captures your attention? I can hear some people talking about the Word of God and I just join in. You know, I can't help it. Because that's what makes me tick. That's a clue into my passion. That's a clue into my life. That's a clue into yours as to what you're really here to do. Here's another one. How about your talent? Do you know what your real talent is? Maybe you're a multi-talented person, but what is your real talent? See, many people are naive about their talents. And it's because of society. Let me explain this to you. If your child comes home with, say, several A's and then maybe a D or a C, what do you say to the child? "Well, I'm really glad you did well here, but you really need to work hard here," right? Is that kind of what you might say? And see, what you've just told that child to do is, "I really don't want you to be good at what you're really good at. I want you to spend time and waste time over here at what you're never going to be good at." Maybe they spend time doing something. Maybe they spend a lot of time doing something they really enjoy and they're really good at doing. They're really talented at doing. And let some other things go. Well, then when you tell them, "Well, you got to stop doing this so much and start spending some time doing this." I want to say this to you. You will never get a life by shoring up your non-talented areas. You'll never get the life God wants you to experience by spending time on your non-talented areas. Now, I know there's a balance, but you understand my principle here. We let society tell us what to do, and we never really spend time doing what we're already good at. We need to get better at what we're good at. Listen, you know, if God created you, and how many of you believe God really did create you? Okay. Then doesn't it make sense to you that maybe He gave you specific talents to do what it was that He created you to do? And so when we find these talents, you see, we suddenly begin to kick in to life and the life that God really wants us to have. So here's some questions for you that I want you to answer. What comes easy to you? What comes easy to you might not come easy to me. What comes easy to you? What do you learn quickly? What do you do that earns you positive feedback? What do others say you are good at doing? If you kick into those things, all of a sudden you start getting a dot connected in your life's picture. And you start seeing a part of the picture of your life. Here's another one, personality. Your personality is your preferred way to interact with the world in which you live. It's how you have decided you're going to interact with your world. And again, society accentuates the negative parts of our personalities. For example, society might say, you're too shy. Or you're too loud. Or you laugh too much. or maybe society says, you're too negative. That's what people tell you. Well, don't you realize that's the way God's made you? And there's clues to your life in your personality. Now, let me show you what I'm saying. Say you are shy. You're a shy person. What does that tell you? What is the clue to that that helps you understand what you're here to do in life? Well, it tells me that you're really not an on-stage kind of a person. That you're much more comfortable and probably do a much better job when you're behind the stage. When you're back there doing where the real work goes on. You know, that's what that tells me. What if everybody wanted to be on stage? Who would be back there doing the real work? You see, okay, so maybe you're a negative person. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you a lot. One thing it tells you is that people really don't like being around you. But here's why. It's because you're a perfectionist. And you don't mind telling people when things aren't right. Am I right? Come on. You know I'm right. When things aren't perfect, you'll speak it up. Is that good or bad? Well, it's a clue to your life. How many of you want a surgeon, when they open you up, to not be a perfectionist? You got a nurse standing there and another doctor standing there, and they say, well, just throw him back together. But you got a surgeon there that's a little bit negative, a little bit more of a perfectionist, and no. We're going to do this right. You see, these give you clues to your life and to what your life's picture is about and to why you're really, really here and why you exist. So here's the question you've got. Do you know your personality? Do you know your temperament? And there's a lot of studies out there. We have a great one right here. I wish everybody in the world could take our temperament study. I really think it gives you insights about yourself and your world around you. But you need to know your temperament, because you will never get a life unless you know your temperament and how you approach life. Here's another one. How about experiences? Your life is not a collection of just random acts and consequences. That's not how life works. See, you are living out your story. Would you say that back to me? I am living out my story. Say it. I am living out my story. Now, I don't know if you really understand what I'm trying to communicate yet. See, you didn't decide to be born. You didn't decide when you were going to show up, did you? You didn't decide who your parents were going to be. You didn't decide your ethnic origin or the color of your skin. All of that was determined ahead of time. When was it determined? Ahead of time. God wants you here, and God wants you here now. Let me show you this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance. You have received everything you need to live the life that you want to live. You have received an inheritance that gives you all the tools you need to get a life. You have received an inheritance from God, and He chose us from when? From when? The beginning. Or we could say ahead of time. He chose us from the beginning. And all things happen just as He decided long ago. See, God's chose us ahead of time. The truth is that God knows where you're going. And a deeper truth is this. Is God's coming back from where you are going. And He knows all the bumps. He knows all the problems you're going to experience. He knows all of the things that you're going to need to get to the next dot. And so what He does is He goes ahead and gives us the talents, the abilities, the experiences, the personality to get to where we're supposed to go. And experiences drive our lives. They direct our lives. You are where you are because of experiences. If you will, you'll look back and you'll see experiences in your life that brought you to where you are today. Some good and some not so good. Some successes and some failures. But a failure is not a failure unless you let it stop you. All a failure will do is cause you to turn and adjust your direction. If you keep failing at something, sooner or later, you're going to stop going in this direction and you're going to adjust it a little bit. And you're going to drive to the next dot or to the next part of your life. That's what experiences do for us. Experiences are so positive. And when you look back at your experiences, you start seeing a picture of your life. God has a plan for you. For you. There's a plan. Let me show you this. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "For I know the what? The plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you." To do what? To give you a great life, to prosper you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a what? A future. God has a future planned for you. But do you know the best way to see your future? To see where you're going? Is to look at your past. If you can begin to connect the dots of your past, it will begin to draw you a picture of your life. And it will tell you exactly where you are going. Good situations and bad situations begin to direct our life. Experiences, not consequences, drive your life and steer you to where you need to go. Now, what experiences, here's the question, what experiences, positive or negative, brought you to where you are? If you will stop, take a moment, get quiet, and look back at your life and all the experiences, you'll begin to connect dots of your life. You'll begin to see what you're about. You'll begin to see where you're going in the picture of your life and why you're really here. Why am I here? Look at those experiences. Do you see God's hand, God's plan in those experiences? And are the dots connecting? They always will. Your experiences draw a picture of your life. Now, all of these things add up. There are clues to our life. There are passions and talents and personalities and experiences that give us great clues as to why we're really here. But there's also going to be some difficulties. There's going to be some challenges to find these things. Let me give you a couple of these challenges really quickly. So here we go. Distractions. Number one, distractions. We don't realize, none of us really realize how many distractions we have that keep us from experiencing the life that we want. Maybe you're like me, a multi-talented person. I can do a lot of things pretty well. And if I'm not cautious, what I will end up doing is getting busy doing something that is not what I'm really here to do. I might want to do it, or I need to do it, or it needs, but it will take my time and my emphasis and my focus away from what I'm really here to do. Maybe you're a kind of a person who has a lot of mercy for other folks, and they tell you, always telling you about their problems, and you get so consumed with their problems than living their lives for them that you don't have time to live your own life. Maybe you're a person that's just full of activities. You got this activity. You got to take this kid here and that kid there. You got to go to this meeting. You got to fly there. You got to drive here. You got to do all these things. All of these activities. And activities aren't bad. But what activities do is keep us from finding the life that we're supposed to have. Finding what we're really here to do. So what you got to do is you got to start putting some of these things off. Here's some questions for you. What distractions constantly seem to interrupt what you truly love doing? There's something that you need to sort of turn off and stop doing. For example, one thing that bothers me is the telephone. I'll be back there and I'll be just studying away. All of a sudden the phone ring. Now, I know I'm supposed to answer the phone, but it's a distraction because I'm really into something. So what distracts you? You got to realize this and see that the enemy is coming at you to try to steal your life. Here's another one, temptations. I want to spend just a moment with this one. We all face temptations. We all do. We all have habits. We have bad habits, and you know, we all do. But some of us have more serious things, such as addictions like drugs or alcohol or even food. And all of these things are sent to derail you from finding your life's purpose and what you're really here to accomplish, what you're really here to do, what your life really means. I want to throw something here to you. I think we all understand the power of temptations. But do you realize that your temptation is customized for you? See, what tempts you might not tempt me. I'm not tempted by drugs, but some of you are. See, and that's a powerful temptation to you. And your temptation is personalized and customized just for you. But here's something I really want you to get today. There's also the timing of the temptation. We don't realize that the most powerful temptations come in our lives when we're just on the threshold of getting a life. Let me explain this to you. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He went to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. And John baptized him, and he comes up, and we're going to have baptism in just a little while. But John baptized him, and Jesus came up. And the Bible says that the heavens opened, and the voice of God came out of the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came down and lit on him, right? And Jesus stood right there at the very brink of his success, at the very brink of what he was created and there to do. At the very brink of it, at the very door to knowing why he was really here. Do you know what the next event was that happened? Do you? Let me tell you. He was tempted. He's at the very brink of finding his whole purpose in life. And all of a sudden, here comes the most powerful temptation that he ever experienced. He's in the wilderness, and the devil comes to him, and he says, "Turn these stones into bread." Let me read you this. I think it's so important. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says this, "And when the tempter came," what? When. There is a when the tempter comes to you. It's timed. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.'" Now, that's not a temptation to me. I can't turn a stone into bread. But Jesus could. And he was hungry. And he had the power to do it. And that was a powerful temptation, customized just for him. I don't know anybody else that could be a temptation for. But not only do I want you to see the power of the temptation, but the timing of the temptation. He was at the very brink, the very door of experiencing what he really came to do in life. Your temptations come customized just for you. And your temptations come in their most powerful times when you're about to step into who you really are and to get a life. Here's the questions you need to ask yourself. What temptations do I battle most often? When do you seem most vulnerable? If you get that insight, it's so insightful to you. It'll give you so much. And here's one, I've got to wind this thing up quickly. Inadequate exposure. Inadequate exposure. It's been said about LifeGate Church that if LifeGate Church was in a huge city, it would be a huge church. Now, the doors have never opened there, and we've never been moved in that direction to do that. But here's my point. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Some things cannot happen to you unless you have the adequate exposure. It would be silly for me to think that LifeGate Church could be a 20, 30,000 member church when there's only 6,000 people in our city. You understand? Right. So you've got to have the exposure to pull off the life you want. Now, I don't want you to move away. I really don't. I preach stuff like this. My own children move away. Right. But they're getting a life. Yeah. Right. I'm more interested in your getting your life than you stay in here. Don't you be doing that. You understand what I'm talking about. You see, so here's the question that you need to ask. Do you have adequate exposure to get a life that you want? What can you do about it if you don't? You may have to move. Okay. All right, and here's the last one we're going to be talking about. Inadequate feedback. It's not good for you when people tell you that you're good at something that you're really not good at. Let me say it again. It's not good for you when people tell you that you're good at doing something that you're really not good at.
Right. There you go.
That's inadequate feedback. What you need in your life is to get good feedback, adequate feedback. And nobody's more responsible for that than you. You've got to convince people that they tell you the truth about what you're doing. And you just can't open it up to anybody because some people will just try to destroy you. But what you do is you get people around your life that really love you and are concerned about your success, and you beg them, and you impress upon them the importance of them telling you the truth. And you got to make them know how important it is to you that you learn what you're really good at. And then you've got to properly respond to that.
Now, if you bow up, they tell you you're not good at this, and you bow up, they're not going to give you any more feedback. You got to respond correctly to them. And if you start making all these excuses, well, you know what, it's her fault or it's his fault or my parents' fault or this fault or that fault, you know, start blaming it and you start bowing up, then they're going to terminate. They're giving you feedback. So you've got to open it. You've got to respond properly to them. Thank them for that feedback. And when they're critiquing you, it's not easy to be critiqued. But if you respond properly to it, you'll get better. And you'll get better. And the feedback will help you become who you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do and get the life that you really want to have. So here's the questions that you have to ask. Who gives you truthful, good feedback? And then how do you respond? Close with this. There's a movie, and I think most of us have probably seen it. It's Chariots of Fire. Seen Chariots of Fire? Huh? Chariots of Fire. Okay, good. In this movie, it's about a runner, and his name is Eric Lindell, and he's from Scotland, and he's a great runner. And he's called by God to be a missionary in China. And he and his sister Jenny are having this conversation, and Jenny wants him to go onto the mission field, and Eric wants to go to the Olympics. And here's what Eric says. Eric said, Jenny, God made me for a purpose, China. He knew what his purpose was. His purpose was China. He goes on, though, and he says, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure. He's saying, I make God smile when I do what he created me to do and use the talents that he gave me. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, chapter 4, it says, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For, here's why, for you created everything. Here's why we should give him glory and honor and power. For you created everything, and it is for your pleasure. For your what?
Pleasure.
Your pleasure. That they exist and were created. When do you give God pleasure? It's when you not only know, but you do what you were created to do. You make God smile. When do you feel God's smile on your life? You'll never experience it until you do what you're supposed to do. I'm feeling him smile right now because I am right in the middle of what I'm supposed to be doing. It is such a pleasurable thing. But people go through life and they squander the chance of life, and they never experience the smile of God on their lives. Are you experiencing it? Close with these questions. When do you feel most alive? When do you feel most helpful? When are you your best? When you answer those questions, you're on the way to get a life. When you answer those questions, you'll start to get a picture of why you're here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for enlightening us with this. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for letting us see, Lord, that you really gave us powers and talents and experiences so that we can create the life that we're supposed to have. But Father, I know that we can all do a better job of what we're here to do. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you would say, Delbert, yeah, I understand all this. And you know what? I just need to do a better job at getting the life that I'm supposed to live. And I want to. I'm going to listen, I'm going to apply, and I'm going to study so that I can live the life that pleases you and makes you smile. If that's you, would you raise your hand and just let me pray with you? I see hands all over the place. Amen. Father, thank you. Father, we want to live a life that not only is pleasing to you, but blesses us. It causes us to prosper and causes us to have an abundance and causes us to have a full life and a good life. So, Father, I pray now we take these principles. We go home, we look at these things, and we answer these questions honestly, and we look at ourselves. So we can see who we really are and what we're here to do. Head still bowed and eyes still closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ or you got away from him, you don't have a chance. Your life's miserable. It's void. It will never have a success in it. You'll never experience what God has for you. I want to help you right now. You see, you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and nobody can do that but you, because nobody can have that relationship for you. You've got to have it. But when you do, he comes and he gives you all the things, all the tools, all the things you need to have and find that life. And if that's you, I want to pray for you right where you sit. If that's you, would you raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need to have a closer walk with the Lord. I need to be where I need to be with Him. I want Him to bless my life in a way that I'm not being blessed right now." Would you raise your hand? I see your hand in the back. Any others? I see a hand right here. Any others? I see a hand over here. I see a hand. Any others? Any others? I see your hand. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Father, now I pray for these people, Lord, that You'll come into their lives in a new and a powerful way, a way they haven't experienced yet. Lord, that they will really see and begin to connect the dots of their life, that the crossword puzzle will be filled up and full, and they'll know why they're here, and they'll get a life that's not only pleasing to You, but it's pleasing to them. They'll live a full life, a life to its fullness, and I ask You to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.